Praise God. This morning, I'm not sharing the word of God. Let's welcome Pastor Carlos as he shares the word of God.
Thank you, Pastor Tony. What Pastor Tony said is really true. When we obey, God promises to be with us. Okay, we cannot just say, I will not obey God yet. I believe God will be with me. No. God will only be with us when we obey Him. Amen? Before I share, I just want to thank Pastor Tony for giving me the privilege to share with you this morning. It's been a while. I took the pulpit last February to March. And then I felt like I'm again trembling. All right. But I believe that the Lord will speak to us. So thank you, Pastor Tony, for giving me the privilege to share with you. This morning, my sharing will not be very long. In my CPU class, my teacher told us to make a sermon. You must try to make your sermon outline 3 points. To make it easier for people to remember, because when there are so many points, they can't remember. So I try to apply it. So my sermon will not be very long, but it will not be very short, of course, because he also said, when your sermon is short, it's called sermonette. And sermonette makes Christianettes. So we don't want to become Christianettes or little Christians. So I also would like to thank Pastor Lily for the trust. Thank you so much, Pastor. And of course, above all, thank God for speaking to me. I want to share this message because this message spoke to me first. Let us open our Bibles to Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 6. Luke 15, verse 1 to verse 6. Let us read. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep, and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" I'll read until here only. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We can see in your word today that there is a shepherd who cares for us. We need somebody to care for us. And we pray, Lord, that you speak to us, to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. The grumbling Pharisees wanted to demonstrate their disapproval of Jesus' actions because Jesus was eating with the publicans or the tax collectors and the sinners. But Jesus didn't say a word in his own defense. Instead, he chose to speak a parable. You know, the religious leaders were to picture themselves as shepherds. In reality, as leaders of the nation, they should have been serving as shepherds of God's people. You know, during our EBM, Pastor Tony and Pastor Lily told us that right now in Singapore, they ban vaping. They ban vape. You cannot use vape, okay? Because when you use vape, it's a crime already. Why did the government of Singapore do it? Because they want to protect the people. They want to protect the people. So leaders should protect the people. And these Pharisees and scribes were supposed to protect the people. They should be shepherds. Each shepherd has 100 sheep, which is a typical number for the average flock of sheep. Shepherds counted their sheep every night because sheep would easily stray, go away, run away, and get lost. When this shepherd counted, he was missing one sheep and goes to look for the lost animal. We are not told if he leaves the rest of his flock with neighbors or with hirelings, though it is likely. It's difficult for him to put the 99 at risk for just one sheep. But the hunt is successful when he finds the lost animal alive and well. So the shepherd calls his friends and neighbors to celebrate the recovery of his animal. Today, I want to share this message because, as I said, the message spoke to me. And during our EBM, what Pastor Tony requested, what Pastor Tony suggested, confirmed that I have to share this message with you this morning. Today, the title of my message is Seek the Lost, Remember the Cost. Seek the Lost, Remember the Cost. And I want to apply what I learned from my school. I have only 3 points, easier to remember. First point is the circumstance. Second point is the challenge. And the third point is the conduct. The conduct. The setting of this event begins at chapter 14 to chapter 16 of Luke, where Jesus was having a discourse with his audience, which were his followers, disciples, and other people. Jesus told them this parable in the presence of the publicans and sinners, scribes and Pharisees, who were the objects of the parable in this chapter. Number one, let us talk about the circumstance. What actually happened? What is the story about? In this parable, the man lost one of his 100 sheep. So he went out to look for it, leaving the 99. When he found it, he carried it on his shoulder, came back and called his friends, then they celebrated. Now, who is this lost sheep in the context? Who are they? The lost sheep refers to the publicans and sinners in verse 1. It tells us, now all the tax collectors and the sinners, tax collectors or publicans, were coming near him to listen to him. The publicans and sinners, the tax collectors, they are considered the lost and erring ones by people. How about the 99 sheep? The 99 sheep refer to the Pharisees and scribes, which is in verse 2, both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees and the scribes were the holier than you people during the time. And the man mentioned here in the parable is the shepherd, who is actually Jesus. So the publicans and sinners are the lost sheep. The scribes and the Pharisees are the 99. Jesus is the man, the shepherd. The man left the 99 and went after one lost sheep to find it. And when he found it, he went back rejoicing. Jesus used the shepherd's concern for each sheep to set up the question, which one of you? What man among you does not have and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? The answer was obvious to those listeners because any caring shepherd would do so. He would search, find the lost sheep, carry it back to the flock, and rejoice. That is the setting. Now let's go to my second point, the challenge. The man, noun, this man which is a noun here, is used instead of the word shepherd. Okay? You read the Bible, the name there is man, not shepherd. Why man? Please allow me to use my eisegesis, a little of my eisegesis. Because every man is a shepherd. Just as every one of us is a neighbor to someone. Men are keepers. So we are all of us here are keepers. We have a task to care for someone or for something. We care for our family. We care for our jobs. We care for everything, about everything. So every believer is actually a shepherd. He is a pastor. He is a worker. He is the Christian. Now, what is the challenge for this man? Number one, seeking the lost. Seeking the publicans and sinners. The publicans or tax collectors, they were Jews. Okay, they were Jews. They worked for the Roman government, which was hated by the Jews. They worked for the Roman government to collect taxes from who? From the Jewish citizens. They were considered, or the tax collectors or publicans, they were considered the worst among the worst. They were assumed to be beyond hope and therefore not worthy of forgiveness. If you try to look around us, there are people that are like this. We look to them, they are beyond hope. We look to them as not worthy of forgiveness. The publicans during the time of Jesus were called sinners and considered lost. Why lost? Because they were lost by circumstances due to their need to survive. They had to collect taxes for a living. They need to eat. But they were lost by circumstances because they had to collect from their own people. They are in a circumstance which is also not nice to them, not good to them. Secondly, they were lost by reputation due to their wrong association. They associated with the oppressors, the Roman government. And they were lost by status, as they were considered one of the lowest and most wicked in the society. So these are the lost. Lost, those who are lost by circumstances, those who are lost by reputation, those who are lost by status. This lost sheep that the man went out to look for is called the lost soul in our days. They are the lost souls. They are the marginalized. They are the blind. They are the dead in sin. But as a shepherd in this parable, we are the shepherds. Number one, every man, every shepherd, I will just put it, every man should go out and look for the sinner. Every man, every one of us should go out and look for the sinner in the highways and byways of life. Next, every man must be willing to leave much just to find that precious one. Many times we have to leave our convenience, our comfort. Many times we have to leave our security. See the shepherd, the sheep, I mean the shepherd and the flock, they are all secured. They feel secured. But many times in order for us to go and reach out the lost one is to leave our convenience and comfort. Leave our security. And many times we also have to give much. and cry much. We must be willing to live much to find that precious one. And thirdly, every man, that includes myself, should offer his shoulders to carry the broken. Shoulders in Greek is omos, meaning that on which burdens are borne. See, we have two shoulders, right? The right and the left. We use it to carry the burden. Some people, I saw them, they carry sacks of rice. Sacks and sacks of rice here. But some of them are stupid. They put the sacks of rice on the head. The head is not supposed to carry that sack of rice. It will break your neck. The shoulders are supposed. So the shoulders are used to carry the burdens. You know, the tender picture, look at the picture. The tender picture of a shepherd carrying the sheep across his shoulders heightens this point. The shepherd is the one who pursued, found, and retrieved the sheep. The initiative and the accomplishment belong to the shepherd. Such calling, and this is our calling. Such calling is a challenge, but there is more to that. Imagine if the shepherd quits the moment he finds the lost sheep, what would happen to the 99? If we quit, what would happen to the sheep? That leads me to my second sub-point, in my second main point, remembering the cost. Remembering the cost. For the man, for that man to seek the lost, there is a cost. He had to pay the price of leaving the 99. But the good shepherd will always return, because the 99 listen and will only listen to his voice. I want to show you this video, short clip. They're trying to call the sheep.
One more time.
Hey, this man is calling the sheep. Another one. That's reality. Sheep will listen and will only listen to its shepherd. This video just tells me to remind all of us to remember the 99. Remember the 99. Because many times, in the burden or the desire to find that one lost sheep, we may forget the 99. Who are they? Who are they? They are those who belong to the fold. They belong to the shepherd. They are the blood washed. They are the saved. They are the forgiven. They are the chosen. The kingdom people. They are the born again. They are the you and me here today. Sometimes the 99 can also be composed of the younger brothers and the self-righteous elder brothers, because they are in the church. When the shepherd finds the lost, he goes back to his fold, because the Bible tells us he left them. The shepherd left the 99. Was there a hireling? Not mentioned. But he left the 99 in that place. Every believer should remember his church. Every one of us should remember our church. We must care for our church and those who are given to us. One day, I attended a wedding. After the wedding, the pastor went to the couple. The officiating minister went to the couple. Because the couple, the bride, works abroad. You know, the pastor told them, you know, guys, when you pay your tithes, don't pay it to your church abroad. Pay it to your local church. Give it to your local church, because your church needs it. Your church needs it. Your church is not rich. They need your support. Now, we have been discussing, so our senior pastors and the elders, we have been discussing to, in fact, we have already tried a few steps to reach out to the young working adults of the church. You know why? Because we felt that this group has been left out. Or maybe this group, they felt left out. They are in the church. And there are others who feel left out. They are the 99. So the shepherd has to go back because he left them. Secondly, the man or the shepherd must go back, because the sheep were feeding in the open. You read the Bible. The sheep are feeding in the open field. The Greek word for open is eremos. I don't know how to pronounce it properly, but it is spelled like eremos, translated in King James as wilderness. In Strong's definition, open means desert, wilderness. In Thayer's definition, it means solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited. If you use it for places, it means a desert place, wilderness, deserted places, lonely regions, and uncultivated region fit for pasturage. If you use it for persons, it means deserted by others, deprived of the aid and protection of others. That is using open for persons. It also means bereft of a flock deserted by the shepherds. It's like a flock deserted by the shepherds. Of a woman neglected by her husband. That is open. That is the meaning of open. So the sheep were in the open field. They were in the desert. They were in the wilderness. Deprived of something. If the 99 are in the wilderness, they are always at risk. They are always at risk. And there are many members of the church who are under the risk of attacks. We learn from our SCG that the moment we become Christian, the demon that controls our spirit lives. But it will try to control your emotion and your body. Yes, all of us, we have Jesus Christ in our lives. We are in the church. But some of us are still at risk of attacks. Demonized. Our bodies and souls are still at risk. Thirdly, the man has to go back to the fold because there are lambs among them. There are lambs, baby sheep. There are little ones to feed. The least of my brethren are there. Matthew 25:40, Jesus said this, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." There are so many new ones, baby Christians in the church that need a shepherd. Let me be clear that the shepherd here does not only mean the senior pastors. No, the shepherd here is not called a shepherd originally, but man, because it's you and me, the believer, the Christian. There are little lambs who need care. And fourthly, the man, the shepherd, must go back to the fold because there can be sick and weak ones in the flock. There are hurting people in the church. There are people who are victims of circumstances and crimes that need our help. There are fatherless and orphans who need help. There are literally weak and sick members who need help. There are LGBT who needs help. Try to look at the members, at your neighbors around you. Look at our seniors, senior citizens. They are getting weaker and weaker physically. They need care. We have people who come in the church and they go out of the church unnoticed. Sometimes the next thing we hear is that they died and we didn't know. We didn't hear when we could have just reached out to them. Let us care, brothers and sisters, for our 99. The person sitting next to you is your 99. As much as we go out to look for that one, you care, we care, let us care for the 99. Do not forget the 99. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 to 40, in the New Living Translation, says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." It is wonderful to see people going out of the four corners of the church to win others. But it will be more joyous when we come back and take care of the church. The 99 are in God's fold, but were left in the wilderness, left in the open. They are the believers in the church, the saved ones, the kingdom people. They are the heaven destined. But while waiting for the coming of the Lord, they have a need to be met. They may be in danger of attacks. While waiting for the Lord to come back, they may be sick and hurting. They need the man. They need you and me. The man who has gone through life's challenges and trials, but never forgets his call. In Luke chapter 22, verse 28 to 32, Jesus told Peter, "You are the ones who have stood by me in my trials," he said. "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And he continued, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift you men like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail." That's what Jesus has been doing for us. He's praying for us so that we will not fail. And Jesus continued, "And you, Peter, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Jesus is telling that to us. When you go back, when you return, that we need to go back. Take care of your brothers. That is the challenge. And third, and my last point, the conduct. There is what we call either practice or praxis of what we hear. Practice or praxis. We can say practice versus praxis. What is practice? Practice is the act of doing. It simply refers to the execution of an action or activity. Like if we are told, "Go for the e-commission." "Oh, okay, all of us will go." That is practice. We are practicing e-commission every year, almost every year. That is practice. But what is praxis? Praxis is transformative action. It implies a form of action that aims to change. We are not doing essential commission just to dance there or perform there. We are doing essential commission because we care. We care for the souls there. We want them to be saved. In hospitals, for example, attending to the sick patients is a practice of nurses. They should. But it becomes a praxis when they care much to see their patients survive. They don't perform for what they can receive. They don't perform out of duty, but they truly understand what they are called for and act on it. As a servant, if I will only do things because I had to, whatever I do will not make sense. If I only follow my job description on the checklist, whatever I do, it will have no meaning. I must be convinced that it is not just my job, but it is who I am. Being a pastor is not my job. It is who I am. Brothers and sisters, being a shepherd to someone is not a job. It is who we are. Who you are. When we do something as a practice, we may only be acting. But when we do it as a praxis, things change. Practice. practice may end in enduring, but praxis will end in enjoying. The parable of the lost sheep ended in celebration. When the man came back after finding the lost sheep. Let me read it to you again. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." This man, this sheep, was not a hireling. He was not an on-the-job trainee doing his practicum. He was a shepherd who knew his flock needs him. This message is not only for the pastors as shepherds of the church, but for the man in the church. Every man in the church, not just the male, but every one of us. What can we do to seek? And what can we do to care? Ask ourselves, what can I do to seek? And what can I do to care? We can do well to find, and we can do better to care. It takes a good man to seek the lost and remember the cost. It takes a good heart to do such. After all, we are only imitating what the ultimate man has done for us. But what we can do is nothing compared to what he has done for us. We can give bread and water, but he gave his body and blood. We can sacrifice time and money, but he gave his life, his all. The ultimate man, the good shepherd, Jesus, left everything in heaven to seek the lost. He did not only seek the lost, but he beautified the church. The Bible tells us he gave us beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. One day, he is coming back, bringing his rewards. Revelations 22:12 tells us, "Behold, I am coming soon." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is our true shepherd. We are only small or little shepherds now. But our true shepherd will come back soon. And he says, "I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one what his own actions and his own work merit." That will be our true, perfect joy and celebration. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, there is a lost sheep that we need to seek. They are the lost souls, the marginalized, the blind, the dead in sin. They are those who are outside, not having Christ. We should go and find them. At the same time, we should also remember the 99. They are in this church. They are in the church. We should not forget the left out. We should not forget the weak ones. We should not forget the deprived, the grieving, the little ones in those who are in deep need. We should be the man who notices something missing, someone missing. Do you notice them? Do you notice when someone is missing? He goes out at all cost and carries him on his shoulders like a shepherd. Just as our Lord Jesus, the ultimate man who carried the weight of our sins on his shoulder. I understand where Pastor Tony stands during our latest EBM. He wished that all leaders would take note of someone in the church and care for him or care for her. A few months ago, After the service, we were eating. We were preparing to eat our lunch. One boy was in the kubo. He has no food to eat. So I asked him, "Do you want to eat with us? Come, we give you some food." But the boy, maybe huya siya, he said, "No, Pastor, thank you. I'm just waiting for my mama." But I know they didn't have food to eat. Because I saw his mama, no food to eat. He is one of the 99. And another time, another boy related to him also. We were eating and we saw him just playing and looking at people. We invited him, we told him, "Come, join us, eat. Have you taken your lunch na?" He said, "Wala pa, Pastor. Gawait pa kami kay Mama." Same reason. So we asked him, "Come, join us." We gave him food and he ate. He is one of the 99. He's one of the 99. And there are others here. What is a piece of bread to an empty stomach? What is a cup of water to the thirsty? What is a warm welcome to a stranger? What is a piece of garment to the naked? What is a visit to the sick and in prison? But after everything, great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Amen. I want to pass this time to Pastor Tony.